from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple and accessible to all. Little bit about me, I'm a former FanGraphs fantasy contributor and a lifelong diehard Giants fan. I also founded the CoveCast podcast in 2015, which was virtually the same as this podcast, but usually much longer. And then I was brought into the Locked On Podcast Network in March 2019. And we've been doing this show every day, pretty much, for most of that time. And we're coming up on 300 episodes. So grateful to be a part of this. We're at like 298 after this one comes out. So looking forward to 300 and looking forward to the next 300. Anyway, coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about some notes from yesterday at Giants Summer Camp. There's a continued push for Joey Bart to be possibly on the Major League roster, which I think is totally unrealistic and not going to happen. Yet that conversation won't seem to go away among the fans, even among some journalists who are kind of adding fuel to the fire by not just saying, hey, look, it's a bad idea. We'll talk about how Mauricio Dubón has looked in the outfield and what he did yesterday. And then I just want to continue looking at the FanGraphs positional power rankings that we started to look at yesterday. But the story of the day, and for a couple of days, has revolved around the Giants' situation at the catcher position. With Buster Posey opting out of the 2020 season, there suddenly became a large contingency of Giants fans who seemed to be pushing the notion that Joey Bart should start the 2020 season, which is literally a week away from today. I cannot believe it, that Joey Bart should be on that opening day roster. And to me, this whole conversation is kind of unhinged because left and right, I'm seeing fans think that they know what's best for the development of a player when the team is saying that they have other ideas. So to just kind of say without, none of us know Joey Bart personally. Very few of us were closely tracking his development and paying attention. Like, how did he look when he made the call up to Double A? How was he looking before that call up? How did the injuries he sustained in 2019 affect his developmental plan? What was the plan all along? So without having any of that information, I've seen numerous people, and we're talking about like comments on Twitter and on even on like The Athletic, it seems like the majority of people think that he should definitely just start the season in the major leagues. But, you know, he's played just 22 games above A-ball in his minor league career. Okay, so he got promoted to Double A at the end of the season, played in 22 games, and did quite well, actually. I mean, he tore it up. He was 63% better than average there in that league, hitting .316 with a .368 on base and .544 slugging. He also saw a jump in his strikeout rate, though, that went up to 24%, which is not bad. But, you know, 24% in Double A could easily mean close to 30% in the major leagues. And, you know, the idea, I'm not an expert on player development, and so I can't necessarily speak to exactly what the Giants are thinking when they say they think he needs more development. And this seems like an appropriate time to read the quotes from Gabe Kapler yesterday, who's been clear over and over, as has Farhan Zaidi, that they don't intend to have Bart on the major league team to start the season, possibly all year, because of the fact that he's not getting normal development as he would in a normal season, given that there's no minor league season. So he's going to go down to the alternate site in Sacramento and basically just be scrimmaging with other guys who are not good enough to be on the Giants roster. And it's much harder to evaluate than it otherwise would have been. And so they just don't want to assume they know that he's ready when otherwise they could be more confident. So here's what Kapler said. We see Joey as a player who can really benefit from some more reps in the batter's box, more opportunities to game plan, and more opportunities to work with really great player development and major league coaches. We've been having this conversation now for several weeks and stayed with a really strong conviction that Joey's best path to being an excellent major league player is through more repetition and a little bit more time to develop. So a hint of frustration in Kapler's voice there saying, we've been having this conversation for several weeks and my answer is the same every time. So I'm with him on this. Like, we need to stop pushing this narrative. Something about it just really strikes me as absurd when people who know less about this push a narrative that they seem to think they know more about this. So on the other hand, on the flip side of that coin is the very real possibility that this is and does have something to do with service time manipulation. So that's a possibility, but at the same time, it's not like he spent all of last year in Double A and then got promoted to Triple A at the end and tore it up. Okay, this guy missed a lot of time with a couple of hand injuries. He was hit early in the year, which cut his single A season short. And then he went to the Arizona Fall League kind of because, or at least partially because, he missed some time in the beginning of the year with the hand injury. He was hit on the hand by a pitch and broke his hand. And so they send him to the Arizona Fall League, where he gets hit on the hand again and breaks his hand again. And so he missed that development time as well. And he's like having to recover from these injuries. And so he is very much not, it's not clear that he should be just thrust into the major leagues at this point in his development. I think he may have started in Double A to begin 2019 under, or 2020 under normal circumstances. From that regard, I mean, there was no chance that they would have said he was ready to just be thrust into the majors to start a normal 2020 season. Fans understood that. Media understood it. It just wasn't going to happen. So Posey opting out, to me, doesn't change that. The Giants aren't in a position where they can just be risking the development of their prospects just to like shove all the chips in the middle in this shortened 2020 season. I just don't think they're in that position, and they need to take care of their prospects and think long-term. I mean, they're trying to win, yes, but it's not worth sacrificing players' development just to try to win in 2020. So the service time thing just has to be said, though, and I've tried to do my homework on this and have had a little bit of trouble exactly figuring out what the situation is, but, you know, in a normal year, there's some amount of time that has to pass. And then if a player gets called up, a prospect gets called up to the major leagues after that date, then it delays their service time by an entire year. And so what's difficult for me to understand is exactly when that threshold is in 2020, because I believe it is prorated. So now I think it's like a week. If a week into the season or so you call up Joey Bart, that delays his service time by an entire year. So I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure that that's the case. And if that's the case, first of all, it's not allowed for teams to make decisions when to call up guys simply based on this deadline. Yet, it is something that they do all the time. So I can talk about it. They can't talk about it, but I can talk about it. They should not have Joey Bart on the team to start the 2020 season just for some ridiculous notion that they're going to like be strong contenders this year, and having him for that extra week is going to make all the difference between making and not making the postseason. That's so wrong for a number of reasons. Number one, what if the season gets cut short and the postseason gets canceled and you just called up Joey Bart right away to start the season, and you've cost an entire year of team control for him because of that? Number two, it's a week. And so, you know, you can't not legally play the service time game, but behind closed doors, teams like do this all the time, even in a normal season where the deadline, the threshold is much longer than a week. So they wait all the time, multiple weeks, close to a month, But all the Giants would have to wait now is 1 week. So even if they did think he was major league ready, they absolutely should wait that week at the very least. All of that said, I think it's the right call, period, for him to start the season at the alternate site and probably stay there the entire year. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk a little bit about Mauricio Dubón, and then we'll move forward in the Fangraphs positional rankings, looking at least one position. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about Mauricio Dubón just a little bit and then move on to the Fangraphs positional power rankings that we started looking at yesterday. So the point on Dubón is that he's been playing a lot of center field, and now that he's actually playing in games, I guess he was also in Scottsdale, but the reports have been overwhelmingly positive that he's looking good in the outfield, and I think that's a big deal because, I mean, if he can play center and if he is playing center a lot, that's, you know, it's something we've heard about, but to actually see it happen and to see him out there in real games, you know, with the season a week away, then that's a big deal. And yesterday he made a really good catch running back into his left and caught it kind of basket style as he's running towards that center field wall. And Gabe Kapler had this to say about Mauricio. Obviously, that was a great catch today, but he's also improving with his reads and routes. His work has been awesome, and he's been able to do all of that while getting work on the dirt as well, meaning on the infield, which is especially encouraging as we visualize a pretty effective utility player. It certainly makes our job easier when he can move around the diamond. So again, we've heard about this all along, but to just see it in practice and to see it happening so close to when the season starts, this tells me this is for real. I mean, he's been playing short, he's been playing center, and who does this remind you of? It reminds you of Kike Hernandez and Chris Taylor. And, you know, Mauricio Dubón has the potential to be, in a way, better than those guys and more valuable than those guys because he's the young player now and he's the one with all the team control, whereas Hernandez and Taylor are getting older and having less control. So a young, athletic version of those guys, I mean, not to say those two aren't athletic, they still are, but, you know, I would imagine that he's going to be in there a lot, and specifically looking at someone like Kike Hernandez, he basically does that in games when there's a lefty on the mound. And even if he doesn't start a game, let's say there's a righty starting pitcher, he comes into the game when a lefty, when, you know, he can pinch hit in a scenario where he's coming in to gain an effective matchup against a lefty, and then he provides that really dangerous offense against that lefty because of the platoon splits. And then he's able to move into the game and give you good defense afterwards. And so even if he later has to face a righty and that might not be his best matchup, he's still providing defensive value at short or at center or wherever they put him. And he has the versatility and flexibility to be put anywhere. So that's actually a really good segue to our next topic, which is looking at the Fangraphs positional power rankings at second base. We did first base yesterday. We looked at how Brandon Belt and others projected to start at first, which excluded Darren Ruff inexplicably. They were projected to be the 12th best first base core in the majors, which is pretty good if you look at where are the Giants landing on the rest of these rankings. It's all downhill from first base according to these rankings. I did talk yesterday about how at a number of these positions, I think the Giants have a real chance to outperform the projections. And this is another example of that, because the number one projected player at second base here is Mauricio Dubón. And I think we all saw the upside that he presents. So do we really think he and the others behind him are the fourth worst group in MLB? I just think that there's real potential at least to be more middle of the pack than that. So Dubón here is projected to hit .263 with a .300 on base and .394 slugging, which, you know, actually is kind of reasonable, but, you know, if he's mostly platooning and playing a lot against lefties, he has a real potential to overperform that. He's projected to be a net positive on defense, and behind him are Yolmer Sanchez, Donovan Solano, Wilmer Flores, and Kian Wong getting plate appearances. I think that's a pretty solid group all things considered, Yolmer Sanchez, Donovan Solano, Wilmer Flores, especially, those are all major league talents, in my opinion. And so if you mix and match properly with those four guys, I think there's the potential to be way better than the fourth worst group in MLB. So we'll do some more rankings tomorrow, and we'll talk about anything else that comes up from summer camp today. So to get this show every weekday, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.